title of my message this morning, whoops, how come it didn't come up?
That happened to me last week.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's okay because it has to do the same thing that we're looking at right here. And that is faith works through love.
Yes.
And if you got to, and so this is our foundational scripture from Galatians 5, 6b. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Well, this is Paul. He's talking to the Galatians. And I'm going to give you a little background to what he's addressing here. He's speaking to the Galatian church, which is both Jews and Gentiles meeting together. They're the new church, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile. But what's happened is a group of Judaizers have come in, infiltrated the church. And so they're Jewish, and they're coming into the Christian church, and they're saying, no, you have to also follow the laws of Moses. And so they're requiring that all the males, Gentile males, be circumcised. And Paul gets word of this, and he's incensed because these Judaizers have gained control and influence in these churches. And so he says to them, look it, are you now trying to be justified by obeying the law rather than accepting by faith what Jesus Christ did for you? And he's just shaking his head at them, and he's astonished. He says, I'm astonished at how quickly you have deserted living by grace of Jesus Christ and have turned to a different gospel, which he goes on to say, and that's no gospel at all. And we know the gospel is the good news. But now, not living under the law. How many of you are grateful you do not have to live under the law? Oh, I tell you. Do not have to live under the law. And what the thing is happening is these Judaizers have thrown them into confusion because they're trying to mix the law with the new covenant, the new wine. And Jesus pointed out, you cannot mix the new wine. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Try and do the Old Testament with the New Testament, you're going to end up with nothing. And Paul reminds them that your justification, the reason we're saved, comes by faith in Jesus Christ only. Not by doing works. Not by living under the law. And again, a few chapters earlier in Galatians, Paul says this, that he calls the Galatians foolish and bewitched. They had allowed themselves to be persuaded into thinking they needed to follow the law or works to be justified. That they needed to do something to receive from God. And that's where I'm coming from today. That we get caught up in trying to do something to receive from God. God has already done everything through Jesus. Faith in Jesus has accomplished everything through his death, right? His burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. We have everything in Christ. So let's take a look at this scripture and do a little bit of a breakdown. And this is the full scripture. So neither circumcised or uncircumcised has any value. In fact, Paul says all the way in, totally castrating himself. You know, like, if that's what you're going to do, it has no value. What, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Oops. Hey, this jumped on this screen. On my screen, that highlighted part is over top of it. So let's start with the idea, for in Christ. Man, we just said, Christ is in us, we're in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with him. If you are a believer, you cannot work for justification. You have been justified by Jesus. You cannot do anything in and of yourself to get God to do anything. So I'm going to say this to you. Give it up. Lay it down. Bury it with the dead you. It is finished. Finito. You cannot pray enough, study enough, sing loud enough, sacrifice enough, volunteer enough to get God to do anything for you. Because it's not about your works. It's about what He's already done. He's already done it. And that's the problem, is if we do not come from the fact or from a perspective that He's already done, we're living out of works righteousness, not faith. Not faith. We'll go on to, it says, the only thing that counts, oops, see, I think this is backwards. Yeah, the only thing, oh man, sorry about that, guys. let me just back it off so we're not looking at it that way. So that the only thing that counts, the only thing that has value, the only thing that works or matters is this, faith. Working through love. And that word faith means, if you go to Hebrews 11, it gives you, it's confidence, it's trust, it's conviction, it's assurance, it's being persuaded. In fact, Paul in Romans 8:28 says this, I am fully persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So that faith that makes us believe, and I want us to understand, believing doesn't say, yeah, sure, I believe that. Believing is this. There's a boat on the water, and you get into the boat. You actually believe and may take a step and make a, you know, take a step into the boat and trust the boat. So faith is that confidence, that trust, conviction, persuaded, and assurance. And who is it faith in? How many of you have great faith in yourself? How many of you have great faith in Jesus and what He's done? It's a finished work. It's done. It's there for us. And then we go on to the word that says expressing itself. And that word is working. It's active. Faith is working and active and powerful in those definitions, in the definition of expressing, through love. Your faith works through love. And it starts with God's kind of love, that agape love. And the last time I spoke on love. Love, 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 love. You want to look at the scriptures? In any other way than love and relationship, you're going to find a whole pile of works. But if you see it through love and relationship, oh my goodness. You know, we have a hard time sometimes believing how good Papa is. That He has already given us all things. He's not holding anything back from you. And we're going to take a look at a really well-known scripture. Now we're going to quickly bump through that. Oh, that's so weird. And it is from 1 Corinthians 13. I had Ralph read it the last time I spoke, but we're going to look at it from the Passion Translation. I really love how it puts it. Love is large and incredibly patient. And it's really interesting that love and incredibly patient, In the Arabic translation, means love transforms the spirit. Have you ever experienced that for yourself? Or maybe you've just had this burst of love come into your heart for somebody that's really struggling. And you just love up on them. You share with them. You give to them. You just spend time with them. You just love them. And you see their spirit change. You see them being lifted up. And upheld. Love transforms the spirit. And so, again, we read on and it says, love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. I still remember sitting in the lunchroom at Charlie Killam. When, do you guys remember years ago when a group in Stettler won the lottery? And one of the teachers that I worked with there knew some of these folks and was grumbling and complaining about it. Oh, those people don't make that money, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, man, you're just jealous that they got it. Who's deserving of it? Nobody. But what a blessing that happened to that group of people. And so we need to be, when we hear about somebody's good fortune, we hear about somebody's blessing coming, we be excited about it. That's love. Love doesn't brag about one's achievements or inflates its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. You know, I love the idea that it's used the word trafficking, because we understand in our culture today the word trafficking. We hear about young women and young children, in fact, men as well, being captured and trafficked. Sexual slaves or whatever. We understand that, how devastating that is, and how not only demeaning, but that's a form of slavery. And it says that we don't traffic in shame. And I hear that idea, and I think of it when we shame people. Do you remember that shame on you idea? Well, shame on you. You know, that is like trafficking something. That's enslaving them in something that is not true. It's selling them out. And that's again, when you think of a trafficker, they're all about themselves. They're learning what they don't care what happens. There's no love, no honor, no respect for the person they're trafficking. They're in it for themselves. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect. And that, folks, I'm going to say this, even Christians today, when I see some of the things they're posting on Facebook and that, it is so disrespectful. It is so unkind and unloving. And I'm just saying, man, if that's you, stop. Go to the Lord and let Him fill you again with love. Let Him refill your heart with love for people. And even our government, who needs prayer more than them?
Yeah.
Right? So what are you going to do? Are you going to pour disrespect, or are you going to pour love? Because love changes the spirit. It transforms the spirit. Now, we're looking a lot at love because we're going to get to the faith part. But if we're not capturing a hold of what love is and moving in love, faith works through love. So anyhow, let's continue on. Love is not selfishly seeking its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quickly takes offense. Hello, people. Ask yourself, is that you? Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. It never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. And that's verse 8. And 1 Corinthians 14 also says, follow the way of love. Man, when we find ourselves triggered by stuff that's happening around us and we get cranky and mouthy and offended and whatever, irritated, or maybe it's with your spouse or a friend or whatever, we need to stop them. We need to remind them and be not offended when they stop us and remind us, right? We need to work in love. We are children of love. The God of love lives in us and dwells in us. So again, back to our scripture, the only thing that works or has value is faith, that confidence, that trusting, that assurance, the conviction, the persuasion, believing and obeying God and expressing it through love. That love that works is active and powerful. Love is powerful. And I think we forget that. We think we have to do it by not by strength, not by love, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The spirit of love that's in you. And sometimes we have to recognize we're trying to rule the spirit instead of letting the Holy Spirit rule and guide us. You know, one of the neatest things about love is it is a great motivator. Man, when you're in love with somebody or when you love somebody, it's amazing what you're willing to do for them, what's willing to change your thinking. I go back way back to when I was first a youth pastor here. There was a group of teens hanging out together as they always did, and one of the gals kind of started having a thing, I'm going to call puppy love, for one of the guys in the group. And I remember this particular guy was looking for the bag of chips wherever it had gone, and she saw it, and she literally flew over, jumped right over the coffee table to go get this bag of chips to give to him. Now, I know it's puppy love and it's, you know, they weren't dating or anything, but her heart motivated her to do something she would never do before. She had a, you know, she wasn't doing that for anybody else. And I always remember that as it was, it just struck me as funny how her heart had changed by love, by the idea of love, by caring about somebody else. It was interesting. How much greater is God's love for us, though? The real thing. Like I say, I call that puppy love, but God's love for us. Faith works by love, and God is love. And again, we looked at that. I'm just going to put this up briefly. I just replaced the word love there with God. And this is who God is. I spoke on that again a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not going to leave it up there very long, but the idea, God is love. God is love. And faith works through love. Faith works through God, who is love. Let's go. I think I have this one up there. We're going to look at God showing us his love. 1 John 4:10. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Move on here. Is that the same one? Nope, sorry. And God has shown his love for us. He said, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. He gave up his son for us. He loves us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Wow! Do we stop and think about it, or has it become kind of old hat for us? Oh yeah, that's that scripture. What is it saying? Where is it? He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good. What motivates God to do these things for us? Love. Here we go. Oops, I didn't put this one there. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it before we go to that one. John 3:16. Anybody got that one? For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, that if we believe in him, we have everlasting life. Let's move on here to Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So how much of the curse of the law is on you? How much of it? None of it. None of it. And we have to stop thinking that way. The curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a pole. He redeems us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Hello, Gentiles! In order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And I think we forget, Abraham was before the law. Abraham didn't have the law of Moses. And yet, his faith, his trust in the Lord, God counted it to him as righteousness. Now, I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's maybe not even a big secret. I'm pretty sure Abraham saw Jesus. I'm pretty sure Abraham, in his relationship with God, saw the Father's promise in Jesus, what was coming, and Abraham believed all that God had. Of course, I don't know that for sure, but, you know, I'm just saying. All right, let's move on to the next scripture here. Here's what he's done. Okay, so that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, that was from the last one. And then here's Ephesians 13. It says, and we have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you're sealed with Him? You're connected with Him? Amen. Moving on. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame. Hey! God doesn't shame us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what kind of love is in your heart? The love of God. His kind of love is agape love. He has poured it. Remember, again, about just taking a moment to go back and read through 1 Corinthians that gives you a glimpse of what love is like. That's already in you because God is in you. The Spirit is in you. He's showing us love in this way. Sorry. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For grace you have been saved through faith. Sorry, I got a little tickle happening here. And that grace means divine enablement. Mm-hmm. It's not even about your strength and your abilities. It's about divine enablement in you. You have been given everything you need. And that's 2 Peter 1:3. Pardon me again. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of Him who calls us by His own glory and goodness. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to cough in the mic and then I'm pulling the mic away. So, He has given us all things. He has given us all things. We aren't on the hunt to get God to give us anything. It's ours. And I want us to think about this for a minute. God has given us all things in Jesus. So what are you lacking? And you know what? Things come to our minds, and that's okay. But we've got to take it to Papa and say, wait a minute. Papa, through Jesus, you've already provided for me all things. Did not Jesus talk about, look at the birds in the air and the grass of the field, and it's here today, God's word. They're taken care of. They're beautifully dressed. God knows all your needs. So you have little faith, depending on what gospel you go to. Do you not know that your Father knows you have these needs? If you're lacking finances for something, do you not know that your Father has a provision for you? Do you need food? God has a provision for you. Do you need clothing? God has a provision. Do you need a debt paid? God has a provision for you. Do you need relationship restored? God has provision in that for you. Do you need health, healing, mind, soul, and spirit, body? God has made a provision for you, and He's not holding back. But sometimes we get in a frame of mind where we think we have to beg God for it, plead for God for it. We do not. Jesus told us we can ask. Just ask. Just ask. But you have to ask believing. Let me continue on before I get, well, I'm not really rabbit trailing. You see, Jesus was motivated by love. The Father was motivated by love for us, not holding anything back. In fact, let's go to Hebrews here, the Amplified. It says, look away from all that will distract us and focus our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. The first incentive for us to believe and the one who brings our faith to maturity. So let's just stop there for just a sec. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified. We want to focus on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. He is our incentive for believing. The one who brings our faith to maturity. How many of you feel like your faith needs a little maturing? I think that'll probably be till the day we're standing in before Him in glory. But He's going to do it. And so, even in our relationship with the Lord, it doesn't have to be about all the stuff we have to do. It's about, I do it because I'm in love. I read the Word because I love the Lord. I love His Word. I pray because I want to be with the Lord and I love Him. I sing and I worship because I know how good my God is and my heart is overflowing with love. I go and I volunteer and I do things because I love the people and I want to share the love of God with the people. I go and I do these things not out of any other thing, any other motivator but love. And now let's think about faith. Oh, working through love. It says, I lost my place here. So we've got Jesus who's maturing to you. Who for the joy of the accomplished goal set before Him endured the cross, discarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father, revealing His deity, His authority, and the completion of His work. Do you understand that you are the joy set before Him? The joy in the sense of what was going to be accomplished through His work, that we could be in Christ, that we could be the righteousness of God, that we could participate in what He has. Jesus isn't selfish, not trying to, I'd like to get this, this is my inheritance, not yours. He couldn't wait, accomplishing the joy set before Him. Accomplishing the joy set before Him. And that is us, out of love. Love is such a motivator. And you know what? Our faith can be blinded by our circumstances. But let's move on here. I'll put that up there. That's Romans 8, 31 days. What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all? How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Are you hearing that? Graciously giving us all things. Who will bring charges against those whom God has chosen? Are you a chosen one of the Lord? Amen. Who's going to bring charges against you? God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns you? No one. Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's that love word again. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword or COVID or... As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, Paul says, in all of this, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am confident that neither life, or death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor this present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Oh man, that's just a scripture to go and chew on this week. Last scripture, it's not up there. It says from Luke 12:32. Here we go, Crystal. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're not just talking. The Father is pleased to give us. Hello, little flock. Hello, little Camrose Community Church. He's been pleased to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And that's right out of the mouth of Jesus. I hope you've been feasting really well this morning on the Word of God. I hope it has been building your faith because you know how much He loves us and He is not holding anything back from you. We have all been given a measure of faith. Size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, and you can move a mountain. So if you think your faith is even smaller than a mustard seed, doesn't matter. Maybe you're not moving a mountain this morning. But if it is, it doesn't matter. We're going to have faith. And I want to take some time. We're going to pray. We're going to pray over the box. We're going to pray right here this morning over things. And I want you to notice as we pray. Lift up in your heart those things that are the mountains that are before you, the things that are troubling you. And where you say, I don't have enough faith, that's not true. You have the faith of Jesus. And when that stuff comes up, we're going to do something this morning together. We're going to go to the cross. And we're going to put that doubt and that those lies that are holding you back from the things God has given you. He's already given you in Christ Jesus. We're going to put all that you believe is a wall against that at the foot of the cross, where it died with Jesus, was buried and left in hell. And we're going to rise up out of this prayer time this morning with the new life of Christ that Christ has given us, and knowing that we're ascended with him and seated in glory. We have the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, oh my Father, Papa, how you love us. Lord, we're coming to you with all that is burdensome in our hearts. We're coming to you with all the prayer requests that is in this box, be it sickness and disease, be it discomfort, be it relational, be it financial, be it all, you know the needs. We don't need to know. We look at this as an offering rising to you, and we're saying to you, Lord God, thank you, that it has been accomplished in Jesus. Jesus, you said, ask anything of you, and you would answer, and it would be so for us. So, Lord, again, we thank you for the health and the healing. We thank you for the financial provision, that you've met all our needs. According to your riches and glory, there is no lack. But thank you, Father, that you have given us the kingdom in Jesus. And again, we say, praise the Lord for everything. We thank you right now. And, Lord, we're just going to take a moment, and as we come to the cross, as we come to the foot of the cross, and we lay down all those doubts that you are doing anything, all the fear that the promises that you've made to us are not for us, all of that, we lay it down on the cross right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you took our doubt, our unbelief, that is called sin, and you paid the price for it. You paid the price for it, and you bore our sins and our transgression, and you took it to the grave. And you left it there. And Lord, we're rising up with you. We're rising up with you in fullness of life. New creations. The old is gone. The new has come. We are part of the kingdom of God, citizens of heaven. The kingdom is ours. And we are much loved. Lord, I thank you that you have poured your love in our hearts.
Yes, Jesus.
We love you because you loved us first. And so, Lord, as we leave this place today, we're just going and joining you and having faith in you to be so good to us. Thank you, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory through our beautiful, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And all the chosen said, amen.